Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Peel the onion.
Good. Let's peel that onion. Get your onion out then. You can't peel it unless you get it out.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble, and James or Jim is here.
Hi!
Pete's here.
Yeah, he is.
And Luke's here.
All right.
Gentlemen, who is your favourite player with a double-barrelled surname?
Are we talking about player or name, really?
Yeah, because is it just the most sort of ridiculous name, or is it a player you actually like who had a double-barrelled surname?
Just give me an answer.
Lee Fortune West.
it's a start. No matter how you look at it.
Yeah. Gift and Noel Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
Chris Bart Williams.
Oh, yes.
Really good one.
Yeah, I had that one.
Keeping up the Williams theme.
I should say this question is inspired by an email from Matthew Riley.
Not so much inspired as directly stolen.
No.
It's not like we've adapted it into our own sort of way, is it?
Haven't I?
Maybe you have, yeah.
Peter.
Can I have Jan Venegar of Hesselink, please?
You can indeed.
Definitely.
You can indeed.
Oh, Jimmy Floyd.
Yeah. I was going to say Jimmy Floyd. Remember how weird Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank looked as a word when we first heard of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Marcus thought Pete was going to go for Sir Les
Ferdinand. Sir Shea Given, Sir Pavel Cernicek.
Yes. The quality of player isn't particularly brilliant, what we've said. They're not bad players.
Does Van count?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I suppose it could
And
be,
so
yeah.
I'm going to take the points with Marco van Basten.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, it's about to... Pardon?
what does van mean? Is van a the? All right.
It's a bit of...
It's of, isn't it? It's of. Yeah. So it's
Mark of
something.
Basten.
Yeah.
Mark of Sheffield.
So what about Venegar of Hesselink, though?
Jan Venegar...
I'll be honest with you, I'm out of my depth.
Like every show. Let's move straight on to the Confederations Cup.
Can we?
We can indeed. The noise of the vuvuzelas is still ringing in our ears.
Sounds like a song by K-Fed. Vuvuzelas.
K-Fed?
And he sounds
K-Fed
like...
Fed line, Marcus.
He sounds like he was reared on ketamine.
Yeah.
Well, we can't answer that right now, but what we can say is... the opening game wasn't particularly good, but the tournament has certainly progressed.
It's definitely been some football, which I think we all need.
I can't disagree with that.
Was it Luke who said that America was going to get a draw with Brazil?
No, that was Marcus.
That was Marcus.
He says, oh, yeah. Boys, little words to the wise. Yeah. Thanks to the US had to get a draw against Brazil, didn't I? So I put a bit of money on it, thinking that's quite good odds. Marcus obviously knows what he's talking about, being the anchor of a really popular independent sports podcast. They went down about fucking 80-0.
It
should have been.
Those magic beans.
I was trying to
teach you all a lesson about the dangers of gambling.
Yeah. I've learnt my lesson. I appreciate it.
What I was trying to say was when I say they'd nick a draw, I meant they'd qualify through their group. And they have.
You know that the USA were all. Hit the bar twice in like the last 10 minutes of that game. They was already 3-0 down, I think. They did rally, to be fair to them, but I think the Foreigners' money are soon parted, and it's my own fault. But the way the USA qualified was the most ridiculous sort of series of events.
Did you see them against Egypt?
They were brilliant.
They were super. You see, the reason why I thought that they might nick a draw against Brazil is because they actually looked pretty good against Italy.
Yeah.
And it took... they went 1-0 up, and they then had a sending off. And then the Italians only won it in the latter stages. But even when it was 2-1, I think the US had one or two slight goes at it. But
Italy are in it, sort of a team in transition.
Yeah, but I thought Brazil were going to do what they did to Egypt, batter them, and then sit back, and then America would come back like Egypt did. Mm. But they didn't. They just battered them.
That was some game, that was.
So I was wrong.
That was some game,
yeah.
That was.
Yeah, yeah.
The 4-3, yeah. The last-minute penalty.
Phenomenal.
Because Egypt scored two goals in about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were 3-1 down, they brought back the 3-all.
Kaká's opening goal was incredible as well.
Yeah, it really
fantastic.
Was.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But the turn of events which saw the USA go through, they battered Egypt, who are a decent team.
Well, Egypt blamed... there's one or two other things that we'll come on to later, but one of the things they said, that it was tiredness for their defeat against America. And some of their top players, have as it, you know, it said in some articles, had been pretty much constantly playing for years on end.
Well, not really, because the game's only 90 minutes. So they do stop.
Splitting heads.
Well, in Egypt, they have to play in their sleep, though, so it kind of does...
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, they're not doing very well in their World Cup qualifying group. They're bottom with just 1 point from two games.
On that theme, actually, the Spanish players, especially those that have just won the Champions League, they aren't going to have a break until they retire, if things go.
Well, I mean, it is interesting, because the Confederations Cup, I think this year, is as big as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And it looks as though, very rarely do these tournaments come along and they have a really good year, and then maybe the next year, oh no, actually, they'll cut it down and it'll be less fuss made of it. That's so right. I think this... I don't know. I don't know if this is such a good idea to have it like this, because it is another tournament.
Well, I mean, Del Bosco is not. It's not like he's picked sort of fringe players.
No.
The full squad.
Well, they've got out to win it.
They went on to break that record, didn't they? Which they have done. So, I understand what you're saying. It's in a lot of ways, it's a warm up for the World Cup, isn't it? So,
of course it is.
Gives South Africa a bit of experience and a bit of a chance to make sure they can pull off such a big sort of footballing event.
Yeah,
it's a sort of good practice run for them, I suppose. Yeah.
Fabio Cannavaro equaled Paolo Maldini's record for Italy with 126 caps.
Wow.
He got the 126th one against Brazil. Not a happy time for him that day, but that is an incredible achievement.
Well done for him. Well done to him.
To that tiny, tiny man.
Who looks like... Who's the actor that was in Brokeback Mountain and Jarheads?
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does look a bit like him. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Landon Donovan looks like Andres Iniesta.
He does.
Yeah.
Apart from when he gets the ball. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think
Iniesta on Pro Evo looks like a clown.
I've not seen him on that.
Is it?
He's got a pigment, sort of not defect, but a slight
Pro
problem.
Evo?
No, in real life.
Not really fair.
No.
Haven't got the artist.
Hang on a minute. Can you explain that anymore?
He's got a shortage of melanin in his skin, Andres Iniesta. That's why he's so pale.
Yeah. Sure. I thought it was English ancestry.
That might be.
Landon Donovan was good to see playing, though, because I assumed he was a lot older than he is.
He's 27 or 28, and he's got about 460 caps.
I can't figure that out. Where have they been playing these matches?
He made his debut very early, and they do play a lot of games, I think.
I think he's good enough to play in Europe. I know he has done, but he's not played very much. He started off at Leverkusen, and then he was loaned out to, was it San Jose?
Yeah, he went to Bayern recently.
Yeah, and then he was signed for the Galaxy, and then he played. He only played a handful of games at Bayern.
He's very highly rated, isn't he?
I think he's decent.
I haven't said that. The reserve manager at Bayern said he wasn't even good enough for the reserve squad.
Wow,
flipping it.
That's why he got sent back.
Going back to Italy, I thought they just didn't really look interested in the tournament.
I think they're in a period of transition. Personally,
Giuseppe Rossi getting there.
He was the only one who actually fancied having a strike on goal.
They're the sort of players that actually do try really hard to impress, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, don't forget, before the Confederations, they had a warm-up friendly, and they only just beat New Zealand 4-3, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they got sort of...
It's mental.
Yeah, no.
World
New Zealand
champions.
Are absolutely shit as well.
Awful.
Yeah. But I just think they've got a few Asian players, like you mentioned Cannavaro and players like that. I think, you know, it's a period of transition for them.
That was aging and not Asian, by the way.
It's a little known fact.
With international Italian football, though, it is just either, like, a crisis or just absolute jubilation. There's nowhere in between. But if they haven't just won something, it's a crisis at any given point.
A bit like England in a way.
Well, I was going to say, the only time they looked interested in the tournament when they heard that the States were 3-0 up on Egypt, and they just thought, oh, well, we'll stroll through this group and then we'll probably pick up the pace. They were like, crap, we're going to go out. And they started...
that's what they do in World Cup.
They slow start a lot. Yeah, they do slow start a lot, yeah.
Well, and it's and they've gone out because they will not learn.
Yeah.
Another tournament that's going on is the under-21 European Championships, and England are doing bloody marvellously.
They are. Yeah. They started very slowly, didn't they? But they've picked it up.
Scraped a win. Sign of a good side.
Yeah.
Mm. We better sort of put a little caveat in, and at the time of recording, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Because they could yet England could all go it up. Well.
But I mean, lots of people seem to be saying in the press here, and sort of other teams' coaches saying that England are the team to beat now. I mean, they made 10 changes for that game against Germany, and they're unfortunate not to win it. They did play well. Yeah. Jack Rodwell scored, didn't he? Playing one of his first sort of few games for them. So
they played well against Spain, but I mean, I thought Spain would. Yeah. You know, like the way the national side is, the full side is going on. I thought, well, the under 21s, you know, Bojan and a few other boys in there. Yeah.
Well, from the small amount I've seen of Spain, they pass in a very very sort of tight and clipped way,
as you'd expect
the full side do.
Yeah,
I thought England would struggle. That penalty save against James Milner, who is at least 30. that save was incredible.
Yeah, it was
absolutely
class
brilliant.
Save. Yeah,
I like.
He stopped it so close to his body; it was just perfect. Mm.
I like how Stuart Peters called himself rubbish. He just said, "I'm not. Yeah. I am rubbish." He says.
When I get into a room with Fabio Capello, I realise how much of a bad manager I am.
Didn't he say he felt inept?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but he's enjoying himself, isn't he? He's been there for a while now, and I think he is really
relishing. It's good to see.
Yeah, it is. Because he made 10 changes for that game yesterday. They didn't need to win it, but the idea behind it obviously was avoiding. If you win their group, they avoid, I think, Italy. But it's looking like to avoid Italy in the semi. So,
right.
And obviously the heartbreak of last time in the semi when they lost 48-47 on penalties.
Pierce said that Fabrice Muamba's performance was one of the best by a holding midfielder he's ever seen.
Is that right?
And he's played with Steve Hodge.
No less.
And Steve McMahon.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So, well, brilliant. Mwemba's, well done.
Yeah, he's been a bit underwhelming for Bolton, so it's good to see that, you know, he's getting a bit of praise and putting in some good performances. Although the under-21s is such a mixed bag. Do you know who the joint top scorers are?
Go on.
Francis Jeffers and Alan Shearer.
Oh!
What a strike partnership. It could have been.
What a pair of bookends.
Except Franny Jeffers is right up there.
I know.
What's happened to him?
God knows. He's probably like fighting dogs somewhere.
If you know, email in.
Faced man.
Where's Franny Jeffers?
Well, whatever's happened to him. Pompey will have him, almost certainly.
Yeah. He was at Blackburn for a bit. Was he at Cardiff?
Yeah, he was there. He was obviously, he was one of Arsenal's all-time legends. Mm. Arsenal Hall of Famer, isn't he?
Well, maybe he's gone to Uzbekistan. Because that's where
Big Phil Scolari's
gone.
Oh, Link.
Yeah, Linktastic. Before Big Phil Scolari, it was Zico, wasn't it? Bunyard Court manager, right?
Zico was there. Rivaldo is still there.
Yeah, they got a lot of money.
I'm thinking of Danielson. The original Danielson's gone out to Hoi Pong Cement or some crazy name team in Vietnam.
Oh, really?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Vietnam,
Yeah. I can remember Danielson when I read an interview with him in 4-4-2, and they said, and when he was like the height of his sort of ability and form, and they said to him, you know, all the great traditional Brazilian playmakers and great players have worn number 10. How come you wear number 20? And he said, because I'm twice as good. And it was at that exact moment when the wheels just came off his career and he went completely downhill. And he's never stopped falling since.
No. Is he still contracted to Real Betis?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a ridiculous thing. He signed
billion,
a 10-year contract.
A billion euro release clause.
Yeah. Dear, oh dear. Danielson, who'd have thought he'd have got a mention on the show?
Hey?
Pete Donaldson for one.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming, lads. I'll level with you.
I said it and I didn't see it coming.
Was it fair to say a completely blindsided pick?
Completely blindsided.
Is it a curveball?
From Uzbekistan to Spain.
Yeah.
Not as good, place. That link.
No.
You could use that for anything, couldn't you? From pigs to trowels.
Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo has gone to Real Madrid. Should we bother talking about it? Because Luke and I already talked about it on Sky News.
If you want to hear about that, just click tune to Sky News.
Tune it. Well, they're probably running it again, are they?
It's on YouTube. I've watched it 600 times.
Well, I write a recorder on my little Arcos 405 player, which let me tell you, is a great multimedia player.
Probably the best thing to ever happen to Sky News. Us going on there, I'd say.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
I'd imagine so.
He didn't know how to deal with his...
No, he didn't.
No,
uncaged.
It was very much like when the Sex Pistols were on that chat show in the 70s,
wasn't
it? Shit! Yeah.
We've had a lot of emails about Luke's beard.
It looks like
hay, doesn't it?
Hey, yeah.
I mean, I was actually quite unshaven, but it was kind of... literally overshadowed by Luke.
It's like a cloud on his face, isn't it? Lovely stuff.
Do you know what, right?
Don't make me fucking raid on you, pal.
Good. What did the makeup lady say to you when you went in and sat there?
I can't do anything with this.
Alan's just like, Alan, what have we got? What are we dealing with here?
She went hungry, wide awake, and pulled out a Snicker.
Yeah. No, it turned into like a mission control at NASA. Everyone like turned around, what have we got to work with here? Give me a hand, come on, all eyes on deck.
Yeah.
But having said that, I had a little bit of the old, they call it studio fix, just put a bit of powder.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of spray.
Well, hang on a minute.
All right.
A little bit of powder just to stop the shine.
I was there.
Marcus had powder. No. Then they had the spray on. Yeah. Then they did his hair for him.
No,
he was there for ages.
Hang on.
They always had to put the show back by half an hour.
You shut up. They never touched me. They didn't need to.
Oh, look, shut up.
You've never
wear makeup every day.
I'll come on to that. You have never gone. You've never had it before, Luke. I went in there professional. I said, usual, please. Bump. There you go.
Usual.
He's kind of. She was like, shall I brush your hair? And he's like, no. What should I do? And he was like, just nothing. I was like, Luke, come on, you've got to play the game here. But
it just felt weird.
Luke makes his own rules.
Yeah,
when we left, I was like, right, I'm going to go upstairs, take the makeup off, you know. And Luke was like, oh, I'm just going to leave mine on. You never took it off.
I rubbed it off with my hand.
You're a disgrace.
Oh, you big
to news.
Sky Sport,
everywhere.
Sure ponies.
I tell you
Sky
what.
Sky News. It's more serious.
Oh, sorry, news, yeah.
Martin Stanford, the presenter, top man.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Top man.
Very nice guy, yeah. Knew nothing about football, so we all got on well.
he looked like your dad, sort of telling you about the dangers of smoking.
He's never seen my dad.
He sat you both down.
Yeah, it is, because it's on
kids.
Pete's website, drawyourdad.com.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
There you are, little plug for you, Peter.
Yeah. Cheers.
He came in and was like, here's the football experts. And we both sort of went, yes, of course.
Yeah. I sort of looked around. No, but it was an enjoyable experience, and one hopefully we'll do. Actually, no, Jimbo and Pete can do the next one. Pete's already a veteran, though, to rubbish talking headshots.
Hey, MTV's Most Shocking 2007 was a better place. Me, girls are louder on it.
I think you're ready to make the step up.
Big leagues.
Glenn Johnson is worth a lot of money in the eyes of Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah.
Perhaps too much, but Rafa Benitez is defending that and saying that, we're in the top four, so therefore we should spend lots of money on players.
Well, if it's a player they need, and it's a player he feels is like the missing part of the puzzle to get them the Premier League, the amount's almost irrelevant.
There's the voice of reason.
Well, although, I mean, you've got to look at Liverpool's transfer budget, because obviously they want to bring more players in as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have overspent, and they know they've overspent. But you wonder how...
Where it's going to end.
Who else comes in for Liverpool? Mm. Because they do seem to...
Well, who do they think is going to make way, then? Because...
Well, it looks like Alonso might go.
They've got a series of underwhelming fullbacks, haven't they, Liverpool?
Yeah. Oi, Jamie Carragher's a perfectly competent fullback.
Well, he plays centre-half, for them, didn't he?
I know, that's what he's always kicking off.
Desainer, will he go? But he's majority of left-back,
isn't he? Well, there's talk of Desainer going. Talk of Arbeloa going as
well. Arbeloa, maybe, yeah, okay, yeah. Or Aurelio, but he's predominantly left, isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah.
Are they allowed to do?
They're allowed to sign and transfer. Yeah.
Huh? Are they allowed to do that? What transfer? What are they allowed with their financial situation? What?
Well, there's talk. I think they've just done another deal with the banks to sort of secure their debt.
There is talk of that. Yeah,
but they've got a service. It's the same with the Ronaldo thing with Manchester United. They've got a massive debt to service.
Yeah.
People forget about that. As long as they're successful, they can sort of keep the wolf from the door. But
look at Real Madrid's debt. They've just signed Kaká and Ronaldo.
Yeah, you've got to wonder about that. Where the fuck are they getting that money?
They get very preferential rates with Spanish banks, by the
way. Yeah.
And they've got, obviously, Perez, who's a billionaire.
And taxpayers in Spain, allegedly.
Atletico Madrid players, as well, by the looks of it, if that is the case.
But I don't think... Spanish clubs don't tend to go overseas to these sort of other specialist banks, do they? They do secure, especially Real Madrid, they secure very preferential rates of... Of sort of borrowing and stuff like that.
That's right. Santa Cruz has gone to Manchester City.
See, that's
City.
A more ridiculous sign for me.
Yeah,
in terms of the cost.
This time last year, I mean, even for this time last year, the cost was a bit much, but what's he achieved this season?
Is there an argument to say, Jimbo, that he's because he's not interested is why he's been rubbish?
Possibly, yeah, but I mean, you know, last season was his only good season, wasn't it? I mean,
the season before last.
But he played well under Hughes, and I think Hughes probably thinks I can get the best out
possibly,
of him.
Possibly, we'll see.
He's very handsome.
He is very handsome.
He's dashing.
I think he's in the top three most handsome footballers currently playing.
Definitely. He's up there with Kaká.
If that's not worth anything, I don't know what is.
No, he's up there with Kaká and Torres for me.
Yeah.
For war.
Who?
War, exactly.
Oh, I see.
What is it good for?
New one.
just about nothing. Tevez.
Yeah. He's a poor man's Dirk Kuyt.
He's a lovely looking fella as well.
Yeah, he is.
Tevez.
I was amazed
Everything he does is excruciatingly prolonged and boring.
Yeah, apart from his dribbles.
I do like Tevez. It's weird because I agree with Jimmo, but I do actually like Tevez as a person.
Yeah. I mean, he must be kicking himself, just thinking, why did I sign this really mental deal with this bloke that's just got nothing to do with football?
Yeah.
But a lot of the West Ham fans say that Manchester United still haven't seen the best of Tevez. The best is still
West Ham fans think they're related to the craze and that West Ham won the World Cup.
Yeah. I'm not surprised at all that's been said down that part of London.
Yeah. Cockney Mafia out.
Cockney Mafia in, though.
Yeah. Absolutely, Marcus. Mm. I don't know whether Santa Cruz... The thing with him is I do think he's got a lot of ability. And whilst in Germany, he wasn't that good in terms of goal scoring. It, as you say, Marcus, I mean, it looks like Hughes knows how to make him sort of tick and get the best out of him. So, and let's see if
it'll be nice for Hughes to sign someone who he actually is aware of signing.
Exactly. Is there still talk of Tevez going to City?
There's talk of Tevez going to Budyonkor.
I'd like to see him go to City. So
everywhere, isn't it?
Tevez is looking for another club. Manchester City have a lot of money.
Come on, it's worth $20 million just to piss off Craig Bellamy, isn't it? He's making a better Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, he is.
It'd be brilliant.
He is, actually.
Two orcs up front for you, that would be brilliant.
That would be class.
But it's sort of... he's come out in the press and sort of said, I would not go to Liverpool because the Manchester United fans mean so much to me. But he's got a Man City. He's got a Man City.
He's still going to be going to Chelsea as well. I mean,
no.
Where would he fit in there? Almost like they make
They'd find up. Something for him to do in and around the club.
Yeah.
Michael Owen, though, they're desperate to get him another gig somewhere. His management company have compiled a brochure.
So is Pete, and Pete's is better. Yeah. I've read both.
Yeah, Pete's is good.
But they said, the management company came out and said, although there is keen interest from abroad, Michael has told us that he'd prefer to stay in the Premier League. We have also included a medical report, that'll be probably most of the brochure, I'd imagine, and answers to frequently asked questions, as well as a review of his commercial benefits and international name awareness. Frequently asked questions, things
like... He's got a pop-up section where you can, like, play around with his knee. Check it's all right. Check it's not, like, dodgy. Oh, there's the cartilage. Ding. It's like a bit of elastic.
Frequently asked questions. Is he still interested?
Yeah.
You know, we're not England, so will he care?
The bottom line is, Michael Owen, don't do a brochure. Just drop your waves to Mars and there'll be plenty of clubs who are happy to have you.
Yeah. I do feel for Michael Owen, though.
Because, oh, we all do, James.
He's a nice guy. No, that is a nice guy. Listen, he's a nice guy.
And conservatively handsome.
I mean, he could never have seen what would... You know, foreseeing what's happened at Newcastle.
Well, that's because it's the future.
There's all this stuff as well. It's a good point.
Thank you.
But, you know, with a little bit of insight, you might have worked it out. But I don't think anyone could have. Because, as we know, Newcastle is this black and white hole of insanity.
Well, black and white, certainly.
But, I mean, like, there's this talk where... Is it 10 million Newcastle have got to pay to their players in loyalty bonuses because there wasn't anything in the contract that meant they wouldn't get it? Like, whatever they did, you could burn the ground down and you would still get the loyalty bonus because the way
as long as you turn up.
Is there a way Mike Ashley can go to jail?
It'd just be safe for everyone, including himself.
Yeah, and not pass go. Yeah. I think that. Did he win the lottery?
How did he make the money? That's what I want to know. How did he make the money? I wonder how he dresses himself. I don't know how he made £1 billion. He made £1 billion. Think about that for like a second. He made £1 billion. Words too funny, aren't they?
Yeah.
Michael Owen, there will be a club out there for Michael Owen. The problem is...
I'd like him to go abroad.
Mm. I think I would as well.
But he wasn't that pleased with his time at Real Madrid.
No,
he
wasn't treated that
but
well.
But he did well there, though.
He did well. Yeah, off the bench, he was scoring a lot of goals. But
at some point, I think actually for the season overall, he was the player who had the most goals per minute. I mean, obviously he wasn't playing a lot, but he was scoring a lot.
There was some statistics, something like that,
In the brochure said...
He's a good player. He's an incredible
finisher. He's not looked interested for two seasons. He never wanted to go to Newcastle, and if he'll go to Newcastle, if he'll go to a club just for the money and then just go through the motions, I think it's...
What chance do you reckon that Blackburn will replace Roque Santa Cruz with him? Allardyce was the sort of player Allardyce would sign, I think. The problem with Owen is the game's moved on without him. He's been left behind with his injuries and he's not played enough football, and he doesn't, in my opinion, it is just my opinion and everyone's got sort of different views on him, I don't think he contributes enough overall to the club.
It irks me terribly. In the brochure it sort of said he does have the highest chance to finish ratio in the Premiership this season. So every time he's been in front of goal,
two or something.
It's really, really weird. It's a really weird stat.
His goal scoring record something like 1 in 2, even for Newcastle, isn't it?
Yeah, but when he had the ball at his feet in front of the goal, he scored more than he missed or something ridiculous. But the point is, he didn't do any running, so he was never in any position.
Yeah.
If you're not in position to score a goal, you're not going to score.
I think he just wanted a quick exit from Madrid, because I read something of him saying recently that he knew after like a couple of months he was only going to stay there for a season.
So many politics, aren't there, and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think he wanted to have one really good season at Newcastle or something like that, get himself back in the shop window, and maybe like go back to Liverpool or somewhere else, and it just didn't work out.
I think with Real Madrid there was Raul, who's not going to be dropped, and Ronaldo, who's not going to be dropped.
No.
So, and I think he went to Newcastle because Shearer was there, good mates, you know, play up front with him, and unfortunately it's just kind of, his injuries have spiralled and the current situation is thus.
He gets a helicopter to training, doesn't he? Doesn't even live up there.
So is Jens Lehmann.
Apparently that's actually not true, apparently.
Really?
Apparently in his brochure he actually says he's never got a helicopter to train.
Is that right?
Yeah, because everyone's just said that
one of his... positive bullet points.
unlike Jens Lehmann, I do not get a helicopter. But if you see what I mean, another example of how the sort of game's arguably moved on is that, you know, this whole thing about you guys saying that you fancy doing a year at Newcastle then going back to Liverpool or whatever. How much has Liverpool moved on as a club with that? Where would he fit in the side?
Torres was saying it would be, you know, great to have him here because what he means to the fans and the legacy of the club and all this kind of stuff. But
there's no room for that, is there?
No, he wouldn't
try to win
in.
Things.
He wouldn't get in.
And there's only Hull that have actually come out and said that they want him.
No. Yeah. Imagine that situation. It's Hull or nothing.
I'll take nothing.
The weird thing is, though, I mean, I'm sure someone will meet his wage demands purely because he's available on a free.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, there is that. There is that, yeah.
This might yet get more ridiculous.
Heaven forbid.
Tranmere Rovers have a new manager, and his name is John Barnes.
Lols.
Raps like he's talking.
He's a friend of the show.
He is.
After 90 minutes of sheer hell, he listens to the football rant.
That's very true.
That's what he said in the interview.
That is very...
Isn't his assistant, Jason McAteer? If the phrase dream team had ever been thought up with anyone else in mind, you can imagine, it's like a sitcom.
Wait, Jason knows.
Yeah, Jason McAteer.
What was that? Head and Shoulders advert he used to do. Mm. Couldn't think of a better man to do it. John Barnes.
The
more exaggerated it gets in my head.
Jason!
And then it went, gives it his all. That's what it said.
In the shower.
The thing is, John Barnes, he's been relieved of his duties from Jamaica. Yeah. He was absolutely terrible at Celtic. Didn't he steer them to fourth in the league?
No, he was in charge when they finished second, 21 points behind Rangers, and he was in charge of the side where they lost to...
Inverness Caledonian Thistle.
Yes, and the wonderful headline, which read...
Super Caligo Ballistic Celtic are atrocious.
That's right.
Brilliant. That guy should never have to work again after that.
Yeah. He's there. As you say, he was Jamaica coach.
He got relieved of his duties there.
Well,
being sacked.
Well, I don't want to be...
No, his contract ran out at the end of the month. Yeah. It was a monthly contract.
How long ago did he take over? Not long ago. And then he was saying, oh, it's a dream move. It's a dream come true for me.
Of course it is. It's always a dream for John Barnes.
It's a dream come true for me.
I was going to say, he was an awful presenter on Channel 5.
Just a great impression. It's a brilliant impression.
Yeah.
Absolutely. To the point where I don't know which one of the three of you did it. I wasn't looking. It was so good, I don't know who did it.
He did say, you know, shortly after he took the job at Tranmere, he says, as long as you can have 11 committed players on the field with good organisation and structure, we can be competitive this season.
Does anybody have any good options we could borrow?
I'm in the market for 11.
What an utterly pointless thing. It's a bit, you know, if we're all right this season, we'll have a half-decent season.
If we win, we'll be victorious.
Do you think he's doing it all himself, but he's just got Jason McAteer in there just to break it up a bit? Bit of, like, relief, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Like a comic foil.
Yeah.
Hmm. Definitely. Well, we wish them all the best.
We do.
The Premier League have awarded all the live matches that were formerly held by Setanta to ESPN.
I believe ESPN are going to pay them some money as well, though.
I'd imagine so.
Just giving them.
They've just rang them up. How you doing? You're right. Yeah, I've got something for you. Do you want it? What is it? Load of Premier League football? Yeah,
43 Premier League matches.
As long as you don't have that cunt Tommy Smith on it, you do what you want. You won't be laughing when you have to watch him every week. Imagine if he's on it. I've got a little bit of a slight suspicion and a sort of scared suspicion that they're going to get all the old Setanta people on.
Yeah, they might well do, because they're going to be looking for jobs.
Have you seen ESPN's soccer output?
ESPN Classic's quite good.
Yeah, but
ESPN Classic, the documentary and stuff's wicked, yeah.
But the actual, like, when they've done, in the past when I've seen live matches, the commentators are always terrible.
Is that the one where it had that, where they had the crazy American guy with that Liverpool friendly?
Oh, release the Kraken.
John
release the Kraken!
When he smashed one in.
Yeah.
He goes, Risa!
Release the Kraken! What?
I hope it's not him. I hope it's not him.
I hope it is.
No, some of the Satanic people were okay.
James Richardson.
Yeah, Richardson. Yeah, I didn't mind Manaman. He was all right.
Yeah.
El Maka.
I like that lovely picture in The Guardian where, like, somebody's preening Maka from behind.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you see that picture?
They always use that, don't they?
Yeah. For some reason, a really popular photo.
But ESPN will have 23 matches per season for the between 2010 and 2013 period. So they're going to be.
So is it going to be a subscription thing?
Well, they've signed a distribution deal with Sky, so that all the Premier League games will be available to Sky subscribers, but they will have to pay a little extra to watch the games.
So it's on a separate channel, just like Satanta, then. It wouldn't be under the Sky.
I suppose, what is it, like a pay per view sort of like Prem Plus style thing?
I would expect so. Yeah,
that's what Satanta should have done, shouldn't they?
Yeah. So this means that ESPN will have their claws into the Premier League. Does that mean that we're all doomed?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, the ball's going to change shape.
Yeah.
You won't be able to score by putting it in the goal. You'll have to go over the crossbar.
Let's be honest, Scudamore, the Premier League's chief exec, he's loving this.
Is he?
He must be.
He's enjoying the exposure.
I'm not sure if we talked about it on the last show whether I was just talking about it with you boys, but Satanta's problem was trying to be a genuine alternative to Sky.
Yeah, definitely.
What they should have done is offered it as like an extra thing by offering it as a pay-per-view sort of thing on a match-by-match basis rather than using it as a vehicle to get people to become a Satanta subscriber. Yeah. Because when they set themselves up as an alternative, whereas the reality of the situation was about 90% of people who had Satanta subscriptions also already had Sky subscriptions. Yeah. So that's why it was never going to work. They tried to take him on, and in a way it's admirable, but it was never going to happen.
No,
I mean, they had a deal with Virgin Media, didn't they, where everyone who had that got Satanta for free, but I don't think they got a huge amount of money per sort of viewer in the end.
They were quite good with us. They had those sort of free view with the cards. You could buy like a little free view box for like £40, and it gave you 3 months Satanta. And then you could just ring you from there. But I mean, what happens to like the Scottish rights? The SPL?
Well, they didn't.
No, they're separate. There's something that's happening there.
Well,
I think.
Well, Satanta is stopping broadcasting in Great Britain, and as a result of that, there will be a shortfall to the money owed to the Scottish Premier League, which has got to be sorted out.
Isn't it £3 million?
That's
nowhere near the level of the English Premier League, but it's still quite a sizable amount of money.
Maybe ESPN will pick that up as well. You never know.
Yeah, but what Satanta did is instead of just saying, "Look, we're going to get these Premier League rights to stop the monopoly from Sky." And we'll offer it as like an extra service, make a bit of money for ourselves, make the money back, maybe make a bit of a profit. But what they did is they went out with loads of money and not only spent a ridiculous amount for Premier League, they went for boxing, German League.
Golf,
all that sort of stuff.
They've done a Leeds United.
I think they lived the dream, James. The only thing they were guilty of was living the dream.
But they've also got the Satanta Ireland, Satanta US.
Oh, yeah, but I think that's separate.
Are they all separate?
Ireland's operating separately, yeah. It's not affected, I don't think.
Stephen Ireland. Even in the close season, he's still making headlines.
Yeah,
he's not jetting off to some beach or taking it easy. He is training throughout the summer.
Didn't he do that last summer as well?
He did it last summer as well. He's got a personal trainer. He's at
the martial arts trainer, isn't he?
That's right. Yeah, up in Derbyshire, and a real rigorous mixed martial arts session.
I know he attributed his sort of resurgence in form or his sort of development as a player as doing that last summer as well.
That's right, yeah. Well, his obsession with the fitness all happened after Man City got beaten 8-1 off Middlesbrough on the final day. And he said he kind of vowed to change his ways after that because he said it was very, very embarrassing. And he didn't even get on the team bus after that. He said he got his girlfriend gave him a lift home because he said this is just ridiculous. And he was really annoyed that he said he was so depressed that some of the other people just didn't really care. No, it was the end of the season and all this, and he was like, I'm not having any of that.
That's what I give him
I'm getting on it. Absolutely.
But yeah. I do worry for his psyche a little bit. He does seem to take things a little bit too much.
He's got a massive angel wings on his back. Yeah. Him, hasn't he? that's just a noise. It's not a jingle.
That's got to be...
That's better. Emails.
Oh, dear.
Get it together. Read the email.
Right, here we go.
Emails.
It is the emails. Dear Ramble, well, I have enjoyed listening to you guys whilst doing my daily routine of cleaning the hostel bathrooms in Christchurch, New Zealand. Mm. I am a Welshman, 19 years old, on a year out to Australia and New Zealand. But since travelling, I've had an abundance of ideas for future travels. But apparently, Sam Smith, who's our emailer here, he's got a ticket for the World Cup in South Africa. So he's given us his rundown of his travel for that. At the end of May, in 2010, of course, he's going to depart from his place, which I can't pronounce.
Carefully.
Thank you. He's going to travel to France via train. He's going to get to France, travel to Spain via car.
Is he then going to get to Spain?
Yeah. He's going to be in Spain. He's going to go from Spain to Portugal by push bike. Then he's going to get on in from Portugal to Morocco via ferry. Once in Morocco, he just says, I will pass through Egypt and before flying to Joburg.
Wow. Well, the football-inspired deity does
magical magical powers.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And all the while, I plan to watch a match in each country. I don't know if the seasons will be on, but I'm sure there'll be
good
some
luck.
Kind of,
you'll find some sort
some
of game.
Kind of kick around.
Yeah.
And he says, you make cleaning backpacker sick that much better.
Oh, well.
Sam Smith.
No.
A lovely email.
It hasn't all been in vain.
Just largely.
Well, we're well behind that trip.
Yeah, we are. I think, yes. And if we can get to the World Cup, which we're hoping
we might
to do,
have to join him on his quest.
We'll meet him. At least meet him.
We'll meet him in Spain, probably.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Just in time for the push bike.
Whatever,
and
let's
you
do
can
it.
Clean
yeah.
up our sick.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely flipping loot.
Who's that, Sam? Well done,
Sam Smith.
Nice
yeah,
one.
Lovely email. Dear Ramble Force, I just.
Oh!
There's the call. I just wondered if the Ramble Collective had any humorous examples of drunk female celebrity owners of league football clubs in the Norfolk area coming out on the pitch at half time to make a complete what's it of themselves. I, for one, can't think of any. Lol's Slim.
This is your mate, Pete, isn't it? He's nuts. He's actually nuts.
Yeah.
He's a good bloke, though.
Yeah. I can think of one. I'm sure we all can.
Yeah.
I can, too.
You can think of two?
I can, too.
Oh, I see. Dear sirs, with the new player arrivals in Spain, notably the jewel of the crown from the greatest league in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo, greatest league in the world in those...
quotation
thank
marks,
you. Yeah. Will this mean that the Sky team will broaden their horizons and actually watch other European leagues? Or will they simply move on to the next marquee player in England? Or even worse, just look at the England team and hype us over, hype our players up because it's a World Cup year? I fear it will be the latter, and we'll have to listen to Key's smug comments for the seeable future.
It would be good if they would look at other European leagues.
Well, Mark Bolton
are on Sky.
Yeah, the Revista de la Liga is on. There's nothing they've got to do is, you know, watch telly when they're not on it, and they'll be fine.
And that's from Ian Gardner.
Thanks, Ian.
Raises an interesting point, though, because, I mean, do you think the Premier League stock will fall because Ronaldo's gone?
Is it a power shift? Is everything... Mm. Is the power shift moving towards
Spain? Well, Kaká's the jewel in the crown.
Yeah. Well, they've got Kaká, Messi
as well.
And Ronaldo now.
Yeah.
And Xavi and Iniesta, probably the five best players. David Villa as well.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Watch that space, not this one.
And the same teams have won the Premiership the last three or four seasons, so it's got a little bit stale, I think.
Oh, I think you're right, Pete. I think it'd be better if Newcastle won it.
If Newcastle were in the Premiership,
it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
We haven't mentioned their new yellow away kit.
It looks like a blancmange.
It looks terrible.
No, it looks like a Solero.
It does look like a Solero. Yeah, that's a good shout.
Mm.
Are you going to get a replica kit?
I was looking at replica gates today, actually. I was thinking of buying, like, a really old one. Like an old Shaq Heslop keeper top or something. Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Gents, Ben Cordier here. Tokyo resident. Mm.
Hello.
Hey. And regular rambling listener. Top job indeed, so a tip of a cap to you all. he says, keep your eyes on the Japanese Ronaldo. Takayuki Morimoto. I think I've done okay there.
Noted, yeah.
Currently
well done.
Plying his trade with Catania. I used to teach him English privately, where we would practice post-match interviews. He enjoyed learning clichés such as, well, we set our stall out, and all credit to the lads.
That's good.
Keep up the good work. If you're ever in Japan...
Why is he learning English if he's gone to Italy?
Well, he's obviously got his geography wrong. And keep up the good work. If you're ever in Japan, a game of futsal awaits and a few cold...
Azahis.
It's
a beer. Marcus doesn't drink, so he doesn't know.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you for that, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, we're a global proposition.
We are.
Well, we'll keep our eyes out for that, man, and I will just love it if he doesn't speak any English and he... gets asked a question, just goes, well, all credit to the lads.
Yeah.
In that accent.
No, let's not do that.
Yeah,
no. Let's kick racism out of this podcast.
Let's kick it out of Luke.
Leave. Yeah.
Give me one good reason why.
That That's better.
That can only mean one thing.
Luke Moore is here. Yeah?
That's
hungry.
That's what noise what makes when I walk on the road. Like I turn a corner. Like. We're playing in the football tournament in a place in Birmingham called Perry Bar. This place called the Pavilion. I've never been there before. It's a tournament on Saturday the 4th of July. We've got a team together.
We've got our own Independence Day.
Yeah, it starts at like 12:30. So if anyone's in the area and wants to come along and want further details, then we could do with the support. We've got our own kits, courtesy of fitnessbox.co.uk. Very kind of them indeed.
Thank you. They're
based in Edinburgh.
Amazing. They are based in Edinburgh, so check them out as well.
A big thank you to them, actually.
Yeah. It's very kind of them.
Marvellous behaviour.
So, yeah, we could do the support. So, if you want to come down, if you're in the general sort of Birmingham area, don't make a special trip. But if you are there, then just then come along and you can watch us all.
And if you're ever near fitnessbox.co.uk, buy everything they have.
Yeah. But not everything. Leave us enough for some kits for ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And this time, we've gone for the Hungarian side of the early 50s and mid-50s. The Golden Team or the Mighty Magyars, as you might know them.
This is going to be educational, Marcus, and I'm looking forward to it.
As you should, sir. As you should. They were coached by Gustav Sebez, and they included such names as Ferenc Puskás, probably the most notable one, and Sandor Kocsis.
And Hidakuti as well.
They had many great players, yeah. And this side went 33 games unbeaten. And, of course, Spain recently
broke that record,
yeah. It all really began kind of in the late 40s, in particular in 1949, with Budapest Honved, which was a club side in Hungary. They were taken over and became one of the army teams there by Gustav Sebez. I say one of the army teams, the army team. Yeah. And people like Puskás were in the army, but they were also playing for Honved. And that was the real core of this Hungarian side.
It's just mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just can't even...
Some army side, that is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Imagine if Wayne Rooney was in the army as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely, James. So, from 1949, we come forward a couple of years. Three, in fact, to the 1952 Olympics.
Through the sands of time.
Which were held in Helsinki.
15 years before the Summer of Love.
Good.
Yeah, thanks.
Good, I'm
More
glad
than
we
just
got...
a sperm race going
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Several sperm races, if anything, yeah. Yeah.
Won by many different people.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So they were 1952 Olympic champions. And in five games, they scored 20 goals and only conceded two. They defeated in the semi-final Sweden, who were Olympic champions at the time, 6-0.
Wow.
Can you imagine the champions, they rock up and beat them 6-0.
In that 33-game unbeaten streak, there are some absolutely massive results in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They scored like 8 and 9 and 6. They were absolutely free-scoring.
That was a lot more common back then, because as we discussed before, people would play with sort of 4 or 5
the formation.
But they were
stuff,
so consistent with it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, we say that, but they weren't conceding goals as well.
Yeah.
They were scoring 8 and they were only winning 1 or 2, do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
They were goal sticking, no offside.
Exactly. Goal hanging, Pete.
Goal sticking. Yeah. They also won the Central Europeans Champion Cup, which was a very odd tournament, which ran between 1927 and 1960 and was competed...
Long. Europa League.
No, well, you say that, James, but it was teams, as it suggests, from Central Europe, including Austria, Czechoslovakia, as they were.
Well, Austria, a brilliant side, sort of 30s and 40s and stuff as well. So.
Italy and Switzerland. They played like a league on a home and away basis, and it usually took more than 2 years to complete.
Bloody hell.
And the fifth tournament, which began in 1948, it took 5 years to complete.
What?
Yeah, that's when you say it's not too far off. The big match which this side is mostly remembered for is of course when they came to the hallowed turf of Wembley in 1953, and it is one of the most historic matches in the history of football. And they ended England's unbeaten home record against foreign sides outside of the British Isles and Ireland, which had stood since 1901. So a 52-year... I mean, bearing in mind, I wouldn't imagine that around 1901, 1910, many teams would have been coming...
Yeah. So my grandson, he remembers that game, and he said...
It was huge.
To put it into context, like, the arrogance of the English team was staggering. And also, so when that actually happened, it was almost like a day of mourning. It was unbelievable. No one could believe it.
Well, it was the blinkers were taken off the eyes, you know. And
they got schooled as well. Absolutely
schooled. Yeah, completely.
What was the score, Marcus?
Well, it was 6-3 to Hungary. The British press dubbed it the match of the century. And this I like this. This shows the sign of the times. The Daily Mirror said that Blackpool, they went with the headline, Blackpool FC are playing Hungary today due to the inclusion of four of Blackpool's players in the England starting 11, James.
Mm. Would that ever happen again?
I bet my parents' mortgage it wouldn't.
No, that's very noble of you.
Very presumptuous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you checked with them? To be fair, the money's safe.
But England had players such as Billy Wright, Sir Stanley Matthews and Alf Ramsey.
England were a good team.
Yeah, they were a good side.
That Hungarian side really was like a precursor to the total football of the Dutch side of the 70s.
Well, they were indeed.
They were so far ahead.
Yeah.
I think they did that thing where I can't remember what it's called now, ELO ranking or something like that, where they try and compare teams over the years.
Yeah.
And Hungarian team have come out on top on more than one occasion.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the best team of all time.
Well, this is it. And
a lot of those players came from Honved as well.
That's what this is it.
Pretty much.
Well, that's why it was mentioned at the start because he simply
you can't say it without saying Honved. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, some of the England players like Billy Wright was saying that they completely underestimated Hungary. And he even was saying to some of his players, they looked at some of the Hungarians that with their lightweight boots, they had, now modern boots are obviously cut under the ankle. But he was saying, that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, they're going to be rubbish. They don't even have a proper kit. And of course, after the game, you know, England reorganised their uniform. They kind of went for a Hungarian-style V-neck shirt and replaced their baggy shorts.
But it was obviously very difficult to know much about their opponents.
Well, of course. But just this foreign team turned up with different gear, and they thought, oh, well, because it's not the same as ours, therefore it's rubbish.
It's inferior,
which
has
again showed the arrogance.
We invented this game.
Yeah. Well, Hideguchi got a hat-trick that game, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe
and,
so.
Pushed us scored a couple.
Well, this is it. The Hungarian, the way they played, which was such a flexible, fluid, as you say, almost like a total football.
It was total football.
You talk about the front three of Barcelona this season, you know, interweaving and all the rest of it. Well, these guys were doing it back then.
Yeah.
And Coxis and Puskás, who were the main strikers, they were wearing numbers 8 and 10. And England thought they were inside forwards, which was slightly different positions back then, and they didn't know who to mark.
No, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, which begged the question, why didn't teams do that more often? Or give us that jersey, they won't have a clue. You know?
Yeah.
And Sir Bobby Robson was there, and he was playing, and he said, you know, we saw a style of play and a system that we'd never seen before. He said, none of these players meant anything to us. You know, Puskás, I mean, all this lot, like men from Mars, you know, we'd never been beaten, we thought it would be a 3-4-0, 5-0 demolishing of a small country, you know.
Yeah.
And they called Puskás the Galloping Major because he was in the army.
Yeah.
Which is a great nickname. But you see, England's formation was the WM formation.
Mm. That's right.
Which I'm sure, because as it suggests, if you look at the formation.
Herbert Chapman brought that in.
Yeah.
Ooh, good knowledge.
Herbert Chapman was also the first player to wear white boots.
Yeah, and he brought in floodlights.
I thought Di Canio was.
No, Herbert Chapman.
Yeah, the WM formation, as it suggests, you know, if you looked at the formation, the kind of, it would spell out WM.
Yeah.
And they hammered him. Absolutely hammered him. You know, and it just went, it changed the thinking of English football. You know, and it, in fact, it was probably a more important game for England in the long run than Hungary.
Yeah.
And Hungary had 35 shots in that game compared to England's 5.
Well, they scored 3 of them. Hungary's keeper must be rubbish. Good team in that, but come on.
And it's funny, and in the rematch in Budapest, Hungary beat England 7-1, which is the biggest defeat England have ever had.
You can imagine the English arrogance, can't you? Oh, yeah, we'll give you another game. We weren't ready. It got worse.
Because it gives me the opportunity to use the word shellacking, which that very, very much was.
Yeah, it was that.
Yeah, you don't hear that enough. Due to the 52 Olympic champions, due to the 52 Olympic Games win and hammering this England side, the World Cup came along in 1954 in Switzerland and Hungary were favourites.
We got to the final, didn't we?
The first match was against South Korea. They won 9-0. they beat an understrength Germany 8-3.
But I really want to talk to you about this.
Yeah, well, some say that the Germans fielded a slightly understrength side to hide the real strength of the team.
I'm sorry, the Germans cheated in the final.
Well, hang on, we haven't got to the final yet. But anyway, but it's definitely worth noting that the biggest scoreline of a World Cup match happened there when Austria beat Switzerland 7-5. but in the quarterfinals, Hungary...
Kevin Keegan would have loved that.
Well, Kevin Keegan's got a hat-trick.
Yeah.
In the quarterfinals, Hungary played Brazil and won 4-2, which is a game infamously known as the Battle of Bern. An English referee, Arthur Ellis, he had to send off three players after several punch-ups on the pitch. And after the game, violence continued. And this is just... The Brazilians invaded the Hungarian dressing room. And apparently a Hungarian player was left unconscious, and the Hungarian coach, Gustav Sebes, ended up with four stitches after being hit by a broken bottle. So that's, and this is the World Cup we're talking about. So I wonder if we'll have that in South Africa. They beat Uruguay, who were the reigning champions, in the semi-finals 4-2. And then they played Germany in the final. Enter Luke Moore.
Can you imagine playing a team in the final that you'd already beaten 8-3 8-3 in the group, and then losing final?
Well, and this is it. They did lose in the final, and they were 2-0 up after 8 minutes. Hungarians were 2-0 up.
And if I believe, I mean, I'm not going to say
Puskas wasn't fully fit for that.
A long time before I was born, but I've read a long time. Lot about it. But I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying they were denied a goal in the final minute, a perfectly legitimate goal or something as well, wasn't it?
Well, Germany pulled it back to 2-2 just before half-time, and then apparently the Hungarian side missed loads of chances in the second half, and the German keeper had an absolute blinder. But you're right, Germany scored with 6 minutes left. Puskas had a goal disallowed 2 minutes before the game, and apparently there was a stonewall penalty given.
Well, it's either the penalty or the goal, and I'd have to...
Well, I think both decisions are very contestable.
Like, unbelievably, like, it was something like they disallowed the goal, and no one could even work out why he was doing it. It wasn't even like a debatable decision.
Well, I can tell you why. The goal was given for offside.
That's poor.
Like, before I was born,
I'm dead against it.
Well, I'm not. This is not a campaign. It's the profile.
We can't do anything about it now. 50 odd years ago,
but
they probably got over it.
We bloody would, though.
Yeah, it's gutting though. Because I just
put myself in the position of being having to think I've beaten that team 8-3 in the
group.
Well,
they've gone in far with very overconfident. Clearly, Puskas not even really fully fit.
Well, Puskas had
but that German side who got beat 8-3. Okay, fair enough. There's a 5-goal deficit there, but they were very under strength.
Oh, come on.
Well,
even so,
it's gutting.
It is gutting, and they really—I mean—they should have a World Cup winners' medal, that team, because,
it's,
as you say, you're talking about one of the greatest teams of all time. But after that, defeat, they went on an 18-game unbeaten run, and they became the first team to defeat the USSR in the former Soviet Union.
Who were some team as well, by the way.
Absolutely, they were. And they weren't beaten again until early 1956, when they lost to Turkey. But the end of the era came in 1956 with the Hungarian Revolution. A lot of the players were away in the European Cup with Honved, playing against Athletic.
Athletic
Bilbao, yeah.
They could come back, couldn't they?
Well, that's right. Before the tide finished, the Hungarian Revolution had collapsed and the Soviet Union had invaded. And they were going to go back to Hungary to play Bilbao for the second leg, but they decided to go on a neutral venue and play in the Heysel Stadium in Brussels. Mm. Which I think is bizarre, isn't it? Two teams going, come on, you don't want to travel that far, and we're just all right, fine.
Because Puskas went on to play, he actually got a few caps for Spain.
He did get a few caps for Spain. Incidentally, they lost to Bilbao there, but so they were eliminated from the European Cup. This is unbelievable. They were eliminated from the European Cup, and Honved, they were just in complete limbo. And the players said, "Well, we don't want to go back to Hungary." Mm. So they summoned their families from Budapest, and despite opposition from FIFA and the Hungarian Football Federation, which was, of course, Soviet-controlled, they organised a fundraising tour and went round Italy, Portugal and Spain. And they actually declined a Mexican offer of political asylum and an invitation to join their national league. And they went to Brazil to play a tournament down there. And by this time, FIFA had declared them an illegal team and banned them from using the Honved name.
That was Sepp Blatter.
Yeah. But can you imagine? Just a wonderful... They just... What should we do? Well, we've got enough money in the kit. Let's just go on a jolly up around the world.
They're like the
Honved Globetrotters. James, you know, it's just absolutely marvellous stuff. And then when they returned to Europe, some of their players, most notably Kostic and Puskas, went to play in Spain, Puskas for Madrid and Coxis for Barcelona.
Yeah, because Puskas actually didn't go to Barcelona because they said he was too fat.
Mm. Is that right?
I didn't want his,
yeah, he was a bit. He was. A bit
well, he chunky. Had fitness problems throughout his career, yeah. and so he went.
But
to
I mean, this guy's one of the best players, I mean, possibly of all time. You know,
he was with obviously he was there at the same time as Di Stefano and Raymond. Well, Klopp, that was as well. Yeah, yeah. It's a sort of kind of underrated sort of kind of legend of the game.
And but actually, Puskas, I know this is not about Puskas, but didn't he? Puskas went on to manage Panathinaikos.
He managed loads of sides.
He took them to the European Cup final as well, I think.
He managed loads of teams.
Or Olympiacos, or something like that. And they're the only Greek side to ever get to a cup final. They lost to Ajax, Cruyff's Ajax. Though. I know it's not about Puskas.
It's certainly worth mentioning. But I just think it's just an incredible end the way it happened. And it's such a shame, actually, because they should have carried on the Hungarian national side with those players. But
such
and
a shame.
It is, and you're right. Puskas actually ended up playing. He got capped four times for Spain.
Yeah.
So I just, it's one of those remarkable stories that couldn't happen in the modern era.
It just simply couldn't.
Players playing for
it's a shame that sort of, I mean, you look at the Hungarian national side now and they're basically what England would have been expecting the time they got.
Yeah, that's right.
Top
yeah.
6-3.
Hungary are actually doing okay in their group. They're above Portugal. They're second in their group.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
They're about 40th in the world.
They're doing okay, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, of course,
completely.
They're nowhere near what they were, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they were in the army, they were playing for a side. Olympic champions, nearly World Cup champions.
World Cup champions, eh?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Nearly.
Yeah.
And then international coups, the lot. Oh, my goodness.
That story's got it all.
And do you know what that means? The mighty Magyars, they're coming into the D-Man's Hall of Fame.
Oh,
Here they come.
A legal team.
And there's a lovely...
Richly deserved.
And there's a lovely memorial in Hungary of them. With you've got a football and just loads of boots kind of attached around it and the players' names listed.
Does that mean Honved get in as well?
Go on, then.
Come on, Honved.
Yeah. Does that mean Pompey getting as well?
The doors have shut.
Thought I tried to squeeze in there.
No, I'm afraid the
Ian
gate's...
Selly, oh, he's in!
Ian Selly, he's already in.
Oh, he's been kicked out.
Ian Selly operates the doors. ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you liked it. If you want to get in contact with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. Our website is thefootballramble.com, and we'll have a new all twinkly-eyed singing and dancing website very soon for your people. So watch
stay
out for
patient.
That. Absolutely. Stay patient indeed. We have a group on Facebook. We're on Last FM. Luke is all over Twitter.
Yeah, I've got
all
loads of people on Twitter now, like 400 and something.
Oh,
yeah.
Reel them in. And,
you're not following us, though. Get involved. What are you doing?
Absolutely.
We're not as popular as Al Gore. He's got a million.
Ooh. We got to, you know, it's just a goal. Another goal.
Yeah. Another
goal. Profile. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
I once had a biscuit that was intended for Al Gore.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, Alistair Campbell once stole my pen.
Oh, God.
That's the truth about that biscuit. Oi, bloody good biscuit.
We're out of time.
Right, and myspace.com/footballramble. James has been doing marvellous blogs on there. And myspace.com/footballramble. Get involved in there because we've got a new celebrity blog from Jim Lovetoy. Yeah. Definitely worth a check, I promise you. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Pete.
Oh, goodbye.
And goodbye, Lukey.
Bye.
We're all off to stage a Soviet-sponsored coup. Cheery bye. So this means
that is fucking imbecilic.
Imagine if you opened a club called the Piss Desert.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.